Okay? Scripture talks about the importance of the gray hair, you know? Well, that's because we've had a number of experiences we've learned in our life, and so we have wisdom because of our experiences. It also means that understanding that allows for the proper application of knowledge. Okay? So, wisdom is something that's learned over time. Okay? Now, when I was putting this together, the Lord reminded me when I was in college, and I was a math major, and I had two brothers that were math professors that taught at the college. One of them was my calc teacher, my first year calc teacher, and he was a really great guy. I really liked him. His brother, however, taught the higher level courses, and the two of them were as different as night and day. And the man that taught the older, the upper level courses was extremely intelligent, and you learned very quickly not to ask any questions in his class because he thought everybody knew it once he put it on the board, and we all had to struggle after class to figure out, what did he really say? But what was interesting about him was he had really no common sense. I watched him one day pull into the parking lot, and he didn't pull in right. And so instead of backing out and pulling in properly, he hits the accelerator pedal, goes in, and sideswipes the car next to him and gets out and walks in the building. And I just sat there just going, what happened here? You know, but wisdom, you know, isn't, well, it was just funny. Point done. All right. Anyways, yesterday's information and yesterday's knowledge and yesterday's revelation will become today's wisdom. Okay? You see, wisdom takes time. It's like when, I'm not a cook. You know, my wife is a great cook. And all of you women, I'm sure, are really good cooks, and maybe some of you guys. But what you do is you marinate meat, right? You let it sit there for a while. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to kind of marinate ourselves in the Holy Spirit. And that's where the wisdom comes from. You just kind of sit and let it marinate in you for a while. So that's a little bit about wisdom. All right? Let's talk about revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is the spontaneous and specific understanding or strategy for a current situation. I'll say that again. Revelation is the spontaneous and specific understanding or strategy for the current situation. Now note, it is spontaneous, it's not learned. Revelation is not learned, it's spontaneous. Wisdom is learned over time. Or it's an understanding that originates in the heart of God and revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's a saying that says, you can hear your way into revelation, but you can't information your way into revelation. You can hear your way into revelation, but you can't information your way into revelation. Back when we first started this, see, back when we got to, where are we at? Proverbs 29, it says, where there is no vision or revelation, people perish. In other words, as I said before, that's a divine communication. You really don't, you have to have the divine revelation to have a strong faith. Okay? Now, the Greek word for revelation means to lift the veil. The Greek word for revelation means lift the veil. Since the Garden of Eden, we've all been under a veil. Adam and Eve were intended to be guided and motivated by the Spirit, but after the fall, they were motivated by their soul and by their will. And so, therefore, we have become soulish. Our Greek mindset tells us, live by knowledge. Right? Once you're saved, you should be walking in an ongoing process of lifting the veil. That is receiving revelation. That's an important essence of our walk. That as we walk, the veil keeps getting lifted more and more and more. Now, let me talk a little bit about this and kind of give you a picture about what it means to lift the veil. You know, if you have a camera or if you want to take a picture, I don't care whether you have a cheap camera or an expensive camera. It doesn't make any difference how good the lighting is. It doesn't make any difference what kind of scene. If the shutter doesn't open, you ain't taking a picture. Right? Well, the same thing in our life. You know, if the shutter doesn't open, the light doesn't come in and there's no revelation. Now, I can tell you personally and firsthand that, you know, there are times when I go to a service and I'm really not in the place to really be open. I mean, I've been there, I'll be honest. There have been a couple times, you know, when I have gone to a place and it was like, well, that was good, but didn't really minister to me because I wasn't open. And I tell people, whenever you come to a church service, you really need to kind of get prayed up and get yourself in a position to hear, okay? And so, but see, it doesn't make any difference how good the worship is, how good the preaching is. If the veil on a person's life is closed, they aren't going to hear. It's going nowhere. It's going to go nowhere, you know? So it's very important that as we gather together or you have your quiet time, you have to be able to lift the veil. And you have to prepare yourself. Okay? Now let's go back to if we're still in Ephesians 1, but now I'm going to look at verse 18. What does he say? He says, but have the eyes of your heart or understanding flooded, I'm reading from the Amplified, flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich it is in glorious inheritance in his saints, his holy ones. Okay? So what does he say there? He says that your eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Okay, that is, opened up so that the light will come in and you'll get wisdom and revelation. And I think it's interesting the way Paul wrote that he put 17 and 18 together. And basically what he's saying is, I pray that you'll have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then he goes on to say, let your heart be enlightened. He's basically saying, if you want to get wisdom and revelation, you got to open your heart. They follow right with each other. So that's a very interesting little thing I saw that today when they were put together. That's why I think Paul wrote them that way. Now, in John 16, I want to just take a little diversion here. Jesus, I mean, I want you to think here. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and what does he say? He says, it's really good for you that I go away. Okay? Now, think about this. What are the apostles thinking? You know, he just walked on water. He paid his taxes through a fish. You know, he called the dead back to life, and he said, it's good for you to go. Hello? Okay? But he said, I'll send you the Spirit and he will guide you into all truth. Okay? Every day we need to get up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, what is heaven saying today? Really? Okay? In the Old Testament, am I going too fast? Okay. In the Old Testament, there's a word that embodies both wisdom and revelation. Why? Because in God's economy, both wisdom and revelation are supposed to be two. And kind of like being married. And they should operate together and not independently of one another. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 1 that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. God wants them both together. Now, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. Okay? It was really funny. When I was doing this afternoon, I realized something I had never seen before. I think it's really interesting. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 3. And in verse 9, okay? Okay, now again, these are all familiar verses, but if we're going to talk about wisdom and revelation, it's important to kind of pull some key verses together and get you to think about this. So in verse chapter 3, verse 9, Solomon's asking God. He says, okay, therefore give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people? Okay? Now down into verse 12, God answers him and says, behold, I have done according to your words, and see, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there shall be none like you before or after, you know, and all that. So he says that, right? Okay. Now, there's something different that you don't know. I looked this up today, and I was astounded. When Saul is asking God for wisdom and an understanding heart, he's right. What? Solomon, when Solomon's asking him, you know, he said, let me make sure I got my notes here. He basically said, okay, that word understanding means to hear, obey, and to listen. In other words, have ears to hear. He's basically saying, God, I want to make sure I have ears to hear. Okay? However, in verse 12, God uses a different word. The word for understanding in verse 12 is a different word than the understanding in verse 9. And unless you look it up, you would never know the difference. But the word in verse 12 is number 995, which means to discern, to perceive, and receive by the senses. I believe that what he was saying here is God says, I've given you a heart that's married wisdom and understanding. Because it's a different word. I really believe that Solomon was asking for one thing, but I believe God gave him something different in verse 12. Because there's two different words. And you can go check that up if you like to. So God was saying, I'm going to marry wisdom and revelation in you because you asked. Okay? Now, let's talk for a minute about wisdom and revelation. I want to talk about what the differences are. Okay? I'm going to come up with three differences. There are probably more, but I'm just going to keep it to three. Number one, wisdom and truth are based on past learning. Revelation is present truth and makes our wisdom relevant. I'll say that again. Wisdom and truth are based on past learning. Revelation is present truth and makes our wisdom relevant. Okay? I will give you two examples from my own life. Okay? Back about, I don't know, how many years ago was we were down in Texas? First time. 7 years ago? 2007? Okay. We were down in Texas. We went to the head of the start of the year in January with Chuck Pierce. And there was a lady from Florida. And she prophesied over us after the conference was over. And she basically said, you know, you have a governmental anointing on your life. Had no clue what that meant. Okay? Now I do, but back then I didn't really understand it. And you don't find that, I mean, in Scripture. It's really funny. We were on a cruise, the last cruise that we took. We were sitting around a pool in the inside pool, and there was a pastor from a Baptist church, and he was reading a book. And we got talking about his book and stuff, and I shared with him this story, you know, about how this man had told me that I had this governmental anointing. And I went on to tell him, the second half of my example here is that 2 years later, a First Nations person, we went to a WLI class, and the person, after he gave his course on spiritual warfare attack teams, prophesied over people, and he said, I see that you are gatekeepers of the land. Welcome to the land. So when a First Nations person gives you that kind of authority, it's like, okay. So I told the gentleman about this, and I said, you know, you're not going to find it in the Bible, but those two revelations have changed the whole direction of my life. You know, well, I never saw him the rest of the week. Okay? He just took off, never went up. But, you know, but see, it's just what happens. But you can't find some things in the Bible. You know, you need revelation to be able to give some relevancy to your wisdom. Okay? And so my wife then and I, when we got this word, we drove around the town of Irondequoit the next day and proceeded over the next 8 months to walk the entire border of Irondequoit praying. We had a prayer walk around the town. But we wouldn't have done that unless we were told by God to do it, in a sense, okay? The problem is that the majority of the body of Christ really operates in wisdom and not in the spirit of revelation. And so you wind up with a group of religious people, and revelation needs wisdom for the application of it. See, there really is. They have to go together. The second thing is, wisdom generates consistency and balance. Revelation prohibits stagnation. Wisdom generates consistency and balance. Revelation prohibits stagnation. Okay? Again, most denominations tend to operate here in the area of wisdom. Third thing, wisdom maintains and sustains. Revelation propels. See, wisdom is the ground floor that you build your revelation on. And so revelation will propel you into your future. Wisdom won't. Okay? Everybody with me so far? Now I want to talk a little bit about what happens if you overemphasize wisdom or you overemphasize revelation. Okay? Because God wants them to work together. But what happens if you don't? If you happen to overemphasize wisdom over revelation, you will emphasize theology and doctrine while you lack power. You'll put truth over spirit. You'll put intellect over gifts and power. You'll put formula over the direction of the Holy Spirit. So that's what happens if you go over the wisdom side. You know, I mentioned before that wisdom provides balance. But by stressing wisdom, you become so balanced that you have 15 steps for everything. And, you know, and you're afraid of dreams and you're afraid of prophecy because you can't control it in the mind, in the intellect. You can't control it, you know? And in the process, in the process of the Holy Spirit, we're challenged, you know, we're really challenged about all of this. Understanding means that you yield to something. Now, I want to say this is really important. You know, you can get a revelation. And I know, and I was thinking about this now today, I've received revelation that's 30 or 40 years old. I still don't understand it. I don't. You know, but one of the things is, when you walk with faith, you really have to, sometimes God just says, you have to believe it without understanding it. And you just let it go. You know, so I mean, I've had some things that are here, and it's like, okay, God, I know you said it. I know it's real. I don't understand it. And it just stays there. You know, so therefore, you have to do that. You have to just let God say something to you, and maybe you don't understand it. But there's a reason why he did it, and one day maybe you'll understand it. Maybe not, maybe you will. But that's important. That's really critical that we let God say what he needs to. And if we understand it, great, and if we don't, okay too. Number two, if you overemphasize wisdom over revelation, you become an old wineskin. An old wineskin is not a person without truth. It is a person that is not walking in present truth, in current revelation. Right? So the problem is we can all become, the problem is we, as we age, we become wise old wineskins. That's a problem. See, the older we get, the wiser we get. And we lead, and sometimes you think we need less wisdom because, well, I've seen that, I've done that, experienced that, you know? I mean, and that really should scare us. You know, we should really be like, you know, I don't want to be an old wineskin, God. I really don't. You know, and so we need to continually open ourselves up to, I really want fresh revelation. There's a very famous author. I won't mention his name. I've read a number of his books. And the last book I read will be probably the last book I read, will read of his. Because in his book, he, when I read this, it was like, I can't believe I read this. He said, there is no new revelation. Boom. No, he wasn't the Baptist guy. No, he wasn't the Baptist guy from the cruise. No. But I mean, if I mention the name of who this person is, you'd all know him. You really would. And I'm sure he's got a very large church. And he does very well. I mean, and he's a great teaching minister, but he said there's no new revelation. You know, and so I was stunned when I read that. It made me, now I read or think about him in an entirely different way. Because I have to now read, if I do read anything of his, I have to read it now with, you know, taking all that into consideration. One of the sad things about this is, if you know human nature, and you know how people respond, you can have a great service, and people will walk out, and they'll feel really good, and the Holy Spirit will never have been there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
It's true.
Yes.
You don't have to know anything except how to motivate people. You know? And the thing about it is, we can read this in Revelation, you don't need the Holy Spirit to have a name or reputation for being alive when you're really dead. Mm-hmm. It's true. See, Revelation is meant to bring us into an encounter with God. And let's go on. Can we switch gears here? What happens if you overemphasize revelation? See, if you overemphasize revelation over wisdom, you won't really have a sound foundation of doctrine, and you'll be blown about by every new thing that happens.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, I want that. Oh, there's something new. Let's go over there. Oh, something new. Let's go over here. You know, and there's no real basis. And what's even scarier is if something unbiblical happens, you won't have the discernment to recognize it.
That's right.
You know? And so for people who happen to have, who really emphasize revelation over wisdom, a book like Abiding in the Vine would just be boring. You know, like, I'm not going to read that. Or they would never think of ever going to a seminar on the fruit of the Spirit or teachings on the fruit of the Spirit, you know? But there is this part of people where sometimes we go one way or we go the other and we never balance them. Number two, if you overemphasize revelation over wisdom, you become subjective. Oh, I feel this. You know, instead of saying, by the Spirit of God, you know, and we get all these feelings. But yet we need not to let our emotions and our feelings rule us. You know, we know the truth because we know it's right, not because we feel it's right. And the thing about it is, prophets who really don't emphasize wisdom or don't put this in balance really do a great deal of harm.
Yes.
I mean, they'll mess up people, they'll mess up their own lives. So it's just we need to keep walking the middle. Third thing, if you emphasize revelation over wisdom, you'll prioritize the Spirit over the Word. And let's face it. We're all the fast food generation. We'd rather have somebody prophesy it in 60 seconds than have somebody teach it in 60 minutes. Right? All done. You know? It's true. If you emphasize revelation over wisdom, you're more easily moved out of the timing of God. And how many ministries have been destroyed because they didn't go with the timing of God and they've really made a mess of things? You know? And for me personally, the problem is this, in my opinion, and I'll tell you why. For me, the problem is that this is, I think, the major problem in the church. When I started, or I did for 4 years, I organized the National Day of Prayer. And the first year I did it in 2005, I went around, it had never been done, and I went around to as many churches as I could go to. Charismatic or not, didn't make any difference. I was inviting them to come. And so I went to this church that I knew fairly well. And I think they only have one service, but they're a pretty big church. And I sat down with the pastor and explained to him what I wanted to do and said it's going to be on May 5th. And it was funny because that was May 5th of 2005. It was like 555 was Triple Grace or something, you know. And it's going to be at Bethel at 7 o'clock. And he said, well, and this is a direct quote, which I've never forgotten. If there's going to be speaking in tongues in that service, I have to warn my people. That was a direct quote. See, I'm really convinced that this is a real, there's a real war here. There's no unity here. It really, and I've done these National Day of Prayers for a few years. I began to realize that. I mean, I could tell you some other stories which are not really important, but I just want you to know that's kind of what I see. But I believe at this hour, God is raising up a group of people who want both wisdom and revelation.
Yeah.
And especially if you look at younger people, because younger people don't have wisdom. They haven't lived long enough. But they really want revelation, and they're hungry for revelation. Obedience, and let me say another little fact here. Obedience is a great sign to God that you want the next step. And so we open ourselves up for more revelation. Okay? And somebody once said, casual prayer will get you casual revelation. You all know the chapter, I think you know the verse, Jeremiah 33, call to me and answer you and show you great and mighty or whatever it is. You know, I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Well, see, revelation is a mystery. And so the key to unlocking the mystery is the hunger for it. In the hunger for God. Now, I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 2 for a minute. Okay? because I love this particular verse. And I'm still, after a month or so, still haven't memorized the first 11 verses here yet, but I will get there. I want us to read, and you can go down to from verse 1 to verse 11, but if you read just the first five verses of Proverbs 2, okay, now I want you to listen to what this says. I want you to listen to the verbs that are here, okay? My son, if you receive my words, action, receive. And if you treasure, okay, my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, okay? That's an action, incline. And you apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out, verb, for discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her like silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God, and goes on and on and on. Okay? Solomon wrote that four verses of actively seeking, looking, finding to get this. It wasn't casual. He is truly saying in this verse, you know, you need to be, it's got to be your focus. You just got to be, that's what I want. And you got to go after it with your whole heart. Or you go one way or the other, and then we're going over some of the problems. First Chronicles chapter 12. And this is where I got two more verses and I'm almost done. And again, here is another very, very familiar verse. You know? No, it's not 1 Chronicles 12. Where is it? Is it 2 Chronicles 12? Maybe it's 2 Chronicles 12. Third Chronicles. There we go. The man's got it. There we go. Third Chronicles chapter 12. No. Okay. I have my little concordance here. I'll find it. ISS. Where is Issachar? Okay. Anyways, you know the verse. I know I must have copied the verse down wrong here. About the sons of Issachar having knowing the times and seasons.
32.
Is it 32? 12. First 12, 32? Okay, I was in the right verse then. I was. I didn't see it. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. Okay? We all know that verse. Okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 32. Thank you, Marisa. Okay? For the children of Issachar, we had an understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do. And their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. We all know that verse. We all say, oh, I want that. Right? But what's the context of that chapter? That particular verse is in a chapter, right? Okay? What's the context of that chapter? It's war. This is about war. This is about David's mighty men. It's not about business. It's not about home. It's about war. All right? The Issachar anointing starts with war. This is a chapter all about war. If you're going to win a war, you need the Issachar anointing. That's why it's in here. Because the sons of Issachar married wisdom and revelation together and helped David win a war. That's all about war. All right, let me close with Isaiah chapter 50. Thank you, Lord. My voice lasted the whole time. Yes. Isaiah 50. All right? You have 50? There it is. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn my back, nor did I turn away. May I suggest that's a great prayer, to ask for wisdom and revelation? Pray it, claim it, ask God to stir it up in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I pray that God gives us wisdom and revelation to win every war that we face. It's all yours.
Sure.
I'm going to sit right over here for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, Rob came to us tonight and shared this, really not feeling all that well. So thank you. It was a great word. God is always in the balance. Always in the balance. And Eldon Wilson, Ron's favorite preacher, used to talk about that balance all the time. And he talked about the marriage of the Word and the Spirit, which is wisdom and revelation. And he said, if you have the Word without the Spirit, you will end up with stale bread after a while. But if you end up with, if you have the Spirit without the Word, or revelation without wisdom, you get flaky. And that's just the truth of it. We've all known people that have gotten out there and flaky. But God is always in the balance, always in the balance. And that was such a great reminder, Rob, of that. And what we need, don't we, to be able to move forward in these days, we need wisdom. And we need to associate with people who have wisdom. You know, that's why I think mentoring is so important, the elders with the younger people, because what's taken us years, we can pass on to the younger generation. But we've got to have that revelation to know what to do with it, to be able to act in the now and in the moment, as Rob said. It was just an excellent word. So let's pray for Rob and then pray for all of you. Father, we thank you for Rob, and we thank you, Lord, that he is a man both of wisdom and revelation, Lord, and that he presented this word to us so beautifully and challenged us and encouraged us with it. And I thank you, Lord, that even as he spoke to me this afternoon, he said, I'm not going to let the enemy win and keep me home. So I pray, Father, you would bless his faithfulness to come to us, that you would bless and honor his obedience in bringing this word. And we just speak to his body and we say, come into balance. We pray, Father, against every infection or virus that is resident there. And we apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The provision for his healing has been made, and we appropriate it to him now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, against every symptom of sore throat, of congestion, of cough, of headache, of chills, of fever, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, as he lies down tonight, he will rise up in the morning healed. And I pray for each of us, Lord God, that we would come to that place of balance, that we would seek and apply and hunger for and go after both wisdom, that we would learn the things you want us to learn, and that we would be open to the revelation you wish to give us in the moment, O God. Bring us to that balance. Marry those two things within us, Lord God, that we can fight the good fight and have victory in your name. Amen.